We have big news.
Big news.
I mean, we have...
Thursday is Thanksgiving.
No. Not Thursday is Thanksgiving. We have big news for our podcast listeners today.
What is it, Lee?
Big news because... Oh, my gosh. I just can't... I can't believe it. I'm so excited. Can I say it?
I don't know what you're going to talk about, so yes.
Are you joking?
Yeah, a little bit. Come on, go for it.
So...
I want the world to know. That's why I put it on social media.
Yeah, you don't get on Instagram.
Not often.
But this week, you broke your fast.
I did.
You broke your social media fast to tell the world that you're getting married. Dude, this is amazing. Okay, so when the year 2019 started, you were still roommates with Devin Rodriguez.
Yes, RIP. He's alive. He just doesn't live here anymore.
He's not dead.
No.
And you guys, it's like you were sitting around at the end of 2018. You were like, you know what? We need to set some goals. And
I remember exactly what he said.
Okay, let's hear it.
It was like, it was right at the end of 2018. And I
was in this room.
I think I was in the shower and he was brushing his teeth. Like, we were pretty open door policy here. Pretty open door policy. But I like notoriously was pretty like, I don't think dramatic's the right word. Maybe I am, I don't know. But like, yeah, I'd say we're gonna die a lot. I'm pretty dramatic, but I did, like, especially with girls.
No comment. I just didn't even comment. I just let you go ahead and finish that.
Yeah, I had like, I just, I think it was like a pretty high source of anxiety. Not anxiety is not the right word, but just like. It was very easy for me to get ahead of myself and say, like,
sure,
I'm 24.
Crap.
Why am I not married? Or, like,
what's going
to
happen?
Whatever. You know, and, like, I probably said that to Devin for the 50th time.
He's brushing his teeth.
But I remember, I don't remember if this is the time you told me to ask him. At one point, you told me to ask him how he stays so content. And I don't think this is what it was. But I did tell him, I admire the way you handle this because. He hadn't dated anyone all of college. He'd gone on like one date the whole time we lived together, which was three years. And this is the end of 2018. And we were having this conversation again where I was probably like, you know, upset or something. And I don't even think I was at that point. I think I just told him, hey, I love this about you. You've always had a level head about this. And he just said, it's time. And I was like, what do you mean? You just flipped the switch on? He's like, yeah, it's time.
It's time.
I'm done being single. It's time. But, and now he's very happily in a relationship. He literally turned a switch on and it happened. But,
yeah.
Little did I know he'd already had his sights on Reggie at that point.
Wow.
So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so that softens the story a little bit.
So the campaign wasn't just open ended.
No, that's an extremely sweet story, but it's not mine to tell. But it was right at the end of 2018 and we made a New Year's resolution that we would pray every day for each other to get a wife.
And a bike.
And then the Pinleys said, if you guys are engaged and buy a motorcycle by the end of the year, we'll give you $500.
Dude, you've got so little time to get a motorcycle.
Yeah, but that's plenty of time to get a motorcycle. But it was really like...
Getting the motorcycle is a much easier proposition than getting engaged.
I know. I told Maddie that probably in like... September. So we were like talking about marriage at this point and yeah. She's like, oh, so this is what this has been about the whole time. $500. So fun. But it was like, I've gotten emotional about it a few times. Just the thought of my best friend, one of my best friends and I, my roommate, we decided it. And we like, not like, by a power of will, we're doing this. We just decided every day we're going to pray for each other for this.
That's nice.
And we would get a text from each other every day. Hey, man, I just prayed for you. Or like, just did it. It would just be something really simple. Or like,
Devin
walk
would
in the door.
From Golden Oak, where he has
Golden
his
Oak,
time.
Where he has his quiet time. He drives Oak Ridge. That was quiet time every morning. But I would walk in the door and he would say, prayed for you today. And it was a very specific thing. Like, we are praying for this for each other. Specifically, exactly this thing.
Yeah. And now... Wives and Bikes 2019 is well on its way because you, sir, are engaged.
Oh, I don't have a ring on my finger. It's not there.
He's waving she his does. Hand. And he's also waving his right hand.
It was the wrong hand. But
and the wrong person.
It was funny. You slipped that in there in one of our episodes, probably in like February or like January, like Wives and Bikes 2019.
Yeah.
And just like you like word sneaked it. So.
Well, here's what I'm saying to you. The world is excited. This is a wonderful pairing. I'm super stoked that you guys are getting married. And it's just so fun.
I'm so excited.
It's almost like this is our ultimate fact check. Is yes. You are no longer, you're no longer not going to be married.
I know. Like it was just, I don't know. I've started like people have congratulated me. I'm like, yeah, we're so happy. I've never said that about anyone.
Yeah,
we're so happy about this.
So fun.
We are so excited. We are, you know, we are talking about things like. Who's gonna do the laundry and stuff?
And she's begging you that you guys could have trash bags.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know this about me, but I just reuse grocery bags for trash bags because I don't honestly I eat here probably once a week and I eat it all, so there's never like food scraps. It's just like mail goes in there.
You made me snort. That is so ridiculous. You used to actually cook yourself a pasta a lot.
Yeah, the water is on the stove right now. I'm going to hit start as soon as you walk the door. I haven't eaten yet tonight.
Okay. You haven't eaten today?
Tonight. I had got a little good for lunch. You know?
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast. We are both going to share something from the scriptures with you that has been encouraging us. Thanks for hanging in there in last week's episode. I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Yeah, we both recorded half an episode on our iPhones through voice memos, and then I stitched them together, and then you guys had a pseudo show, but we didn't get to hang out.
No, which is really sad.
Yeah. Our friend Justin says that he feels like he hangs out with us all the time because he listens to the show, and then we're not actually hanging out with him.
Justin who?
Kesterson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's really sweet.
And so that's
so
kind
encouraging.
Of a, yeah, it's kind of a fun thing. That's so sweet. It's like other people feel like they hang out with us all the time.
I know. It's like Matthew Urizen said that before. He's like, man, you know, like we'll talk on the phone and he's like, gosh, I just feel like I know everything already or like whatever, but it's just, yeah. It's super sweet. That's really encouraging.
Very sweet. Very encouraging.
We really appreciate that. And I hope that we don't, I mean, I thought that podcast, that was a fun episode to do. I hope that's not a weekly thing.
No.
Cause it just made me sad.
I know. I need to be hanging out with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you begin today?
Great. I'm 99% sure I've done the scripture before.
It's okay.
It's a big book, and I picked this one twice, so you know it must be important.
You know what Spurgeon says about stuff like that?
Tell me about it.
He said that, like, he said it specifically about Romans chapter 3, but he said that you know, verses, like, really rich verses in the scriptures are like, they're like a diamond or like a prism. It's like you turn it, and then the light comes through, and it's like gives a totally different. Gives a totally different image, totally different picture, totally different array of colors.
Wow.
And so it's like, it's the same thing, but turn it just a little bit, look at it in a totally, in just a little bit different way. And the picture totally changes. It's so rich. It has so much to say.
That's funny. Cause now I'm remembering almost everything I said last time I did this, but I don't think I have the same thing to say. So if someone's offended, Austin White, if you're offended that I'm reading a scripture,
if anybody's going to be offended,
anyone
it's
is,
the Big Papa.
Big Papa is going to be upset.
He was so upset when you ratted his team down.
If y'all could see our text thread, good gosh.
You can't see our text thread.
Can't see our text thread. It's not weird. We're a family show. I think. Anyways, okay, this comes from 1 Timothy. I've definitely done this before. This is so funny.
Let's go.
I read it this morning and I was super encouraged by it.
I'm glad 1 Timothy's still there. If we, you know, like, let's do it again.
Yeah, I mean, this was really encouraging to me today, as it was probably 7 months ago when I read this last time. You know, it's one of those things where, like, I don't have a ton of scripture memorized. I have more than I realize, I think, because of just probably growing up in the church that I did. And
so you, like, people might not know this about you that listen to the show, but you lead a lot of small groups. You are putting together and presenting scripture often.
Yeah, but
lots of different
groups. You also know my style of leading small groups, and it.
Yeah, but still, those scriptures are in your mouth, man.
Yeah, like, they are, and like know. It's it honestly, like, and I think this is good to remember. it helps me to remember this. I think this is probably true of you all listening. Like, I think you know more than you realize. Like, because especially I'll be in one of the small groups I lead, and I'll start. Oh, that reminds me. You know, it's the amount of times it says, "Oh, that reminds me of this thing that Paul said," or like that thing from Matthew chapter, or whatever. And I'm like, wait, I didn't realize I knew that, which is really cool. I think the moral of the story is I need to know that I know stuff more, or like, you know, try to. I think it's a big tool to memorize scripture. I've had almost like a PTSD thing with it, like just from my childhood, like the amount of that stuff that was forced on me,
right?
And like what I had to memorize and how I had to memorize it, and like how I'd be rewarded for it and how I'd be punished for not having memorized or whatever.
Literally paid for it. I was paid money.
I was given memorizing scripture, like Awana bucks for it, you know, stuff like that. Oh, and
that's
like
cheap, man. You should have gone for US dollars.
I know. What was I thinking? 7-year-old Thomas just wanted to turn some money in for some candy because that boy likes some candy. But
oh, this was in the Rosie O'Donnell phase.
Well, this is right before it. This is what led to it. Yeah. This is the minor leagues of the Rosie O'Donnell phase. I would say Rosie O'Donnell was full fledged from like third grade till the beginning of seventh grade. But anyways, yeah, but I'm saying that because I forget that this is here. And then when I remember it, I'm like, I start the verse and I get excited because I'm like, oh yeah, this is that one. Like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Cool. So that's what happened today. This is from 1 Timothy chapter 1. And, I'm trying to think if I should say it. Yeah. I'm just gonna do the whole thing. I'm going to start at 15. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. This is Paul talking. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. This is hard to admit, but I've had a lot of times in my life where I don't believe I'm a super big sinner. That's embarrassing. And I think it, like, I don't want to
Baptist is showing.
Yeah. I don't want to blame everything on my Baptist, which like we say that. And I also don't want people who are listening who would call themselves Baptist to be like offended, because I think it's just specifically the way we were raised. And like the church I was raised in and my sister was raised in and Lee was raised in, it was a bad flavor of that. You know, I think there's some, yeah, I don't want to blanket statement all that. So there's been a lot of self-righteous years in my life of like needing to remember that I'm a sinner, and like sin doesn't just equate for the things in my head that are sin. Like, you know, I've got like our friend Devin says this amazing thing to younger guys specifically. And I think it's beautiful. Like, and I tell my college guys all the time, like, I think Satan will trick you to believe that the sin in your life specifically is sexual stuff. That is it. Like, as a sinner,
sure,
you fall on the boundary line of someone who thinks about someone sexually or looks at things sexually or like, you know, whatever the thing is. And that is your sin specifically. That is the only way you struggle. And I think those are things that we need to work on because they are sin. Yeah, it's so obvious. And like, but the thing that Devin will say is like, Satan will put that in your face as like the one thing. That is it. And you've got a mountain of stuff that you need to be dealing with in your life. You know, like that is sin, and that like the Lord is asking us to move away from. And I mean, it's a funny thing to think about. And it's really helpful. But you know, for me as a kid, that meant that I wasn't a super big sinner, except in a lot of other areas or, you know, like whatever right. It was yeah. Like, I didn't party. So therefore, as a 15-year-old, you know, I wasn't getting drunk on the weekends. So therefore, I wasn't really a sinner. Good. I'm doing really well. Or like, you know, I went to college and like I stayed in my dorm every night. And in fact, my freshman year of college, I went home every weekend. Therefore, I was a really good kid.
It's
you know,
funny. Like you're setting up an exact parable that Jesus tells.
Exactly.
About the Pharisee and the tax collector.
Yes. But I do. I mean, like, it's an embarrassing thing to admit, and it makes me really thankful for the second part of that, that Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience. I'm really thankful for that, for his unlimited patience, because I am, you know, I'm the worst. And no matter how amazing I think I am and how many areas I think I've got it right, there's a lot of places I'm falling on my face. And, gosh, I think we talked about this more recently than I remember, but it was really helpful for me to read it and to get up this morning and to remember, okay, today you are going to eat it a lot. Like, you're just going to, you're going to fall flat.
Right.
You're planning a wedding. You're probably going to say some unkind things or think some unkind. So far it's been really nice and easy, which has been really sweet, but we haven't really ever fought. That's coming, you know, like, you're going to get married. You're going to be an idiot.
Yeah,
you're gonna say the most unkind things you've ever said to someone, yeah. And that's gonna happen to you. And like, you work with people who, whatever. Like, there's just like all kinds of areas in my life where I'm realizing, holy cow, I need more patience than I thought I did. And I thought I was awesome, which is an area I need a lot of patience in, because I'm super not, but part of me thought I was. And like, you know, just there's just so many things where, like, if I made a list for all the things I needed patience for, I suppose there wouldn't be enough paper in the whole world for it, you know, to quote the Apostle John. Yeah, just like, there's just not enough of it. And that's why there needs to be an unlimited amount from Jesus.
Yeah. So here's what this is making me think about. When I was a little kid, we had, you know, we always had kind of like normal size, like lower middle class houses that we lived in. My dad's a teacher. My mom worked in like the front desk at a doctor's office. And we just always had like kind of a lower middle class size house with a lower middle class size yard, mm-hmm. for me to like run around in and play in. And we used to live in a town in Tennessee called Manchester, Tennessee. And there were these friends that we had through the church that we went to. There was this older couple that, like, they just loved my parents and they loved us. And their names were Liz and Lane Smith. And Liz and Lane Smith had like a farm and a big old house. And every now and then we would go over there. I remember one time my parents went on a trip and we stayed at Liz and Lane's, like, my little sister and I stayed at Liz and Lane Smith's house while my parents were gone. And Liz Smith was one of these, like, she was one of these awesome, like, Southern grandmas that, like, made fresh sourdough bread every day.
What? Whose grandma does that?
Dude, she just made amazing food. Just amazing Southern food. But, like, there would be, like, I've never had bread this good ever or since. But Liz Smith would make this fresh sourdough bread. She would make it like every
single day. Would she ever
put
like cinnamon sticks in there or anything?
Like, we would, like, they would have the best like butter and stuff like that. And it was just like the most delectable food. And they had this huge farm, and we would like wake up in the morning and we would go eat breakfast. You would have just a big old fat piece of sourdough toast with butter, and you'd have eggs and everything. And then it was like, hey, why don't y'all go run around outside for a while? And I was like, cool. Like, what's the yard? And she would say, like everything. They had this huge farm. Mm. It was like, there was no end to this yard.
Mm.
You could run, like, my little legs could take me in any direction.
Everything the light touches.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like Mufasa said, like, it was like this, their property just seemed to never end. And you could just go, and there was like, there was woods, and there was a creek, and then there was a pond. And then it was just like, there were fields where they would have, where they were growing corn and other crops and stuff like that. It was just, there were barns and like, you know, huge like tractors and stuff like that. It was just like, for a little kid that like wanted to play outside and had like a, you know, just a kind of a limiting little middle-class house and yard, this was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know there was this much land in the world. Right. You know, and it was just at Liz and Lane Smith's house. And It's like you go to the Smith's house and it was just like, you could just run forever. And I remember feeling that way. Like I could just walk and I could just run. And I could play forever. And that's what you reading those verses made me think, is just like the patience of Jesus. It's like you've been, the way you've imagined it is like this little yard with a little fence. And you can easily run back and forth on it. You could get to the end of it so fast. And then you go to the Smith's house and there's fresh sourdough bread and you could never find the end of this property. You would just, you could just adventure forever. You could just run and walk and play. And like, and that's what it's making me think of. Literally the Greek word for unlimited, when it talks about his patience, is the word boundary with an A in front of it. Like, like when you take the word tonal and then you put A in front of it, atonal, which means it doesn't have a tone. Or you take the word typical and you put an A in front of it, atypical. It's not typical. That A in Greek just negates the word. And it literally is just the word boundary with an A in front of it. There is no boundary. There's no boundary to the patience of Jesus. That's so comforting.
Yes.
I want to read something from... from Matthew chapter 16. You did that on the last episode in your car.
I thought that was like, so funny. I'm gonna whistle. I'm gonna whistle the theme song.
I'm gonna
right
do
now.
The theme song.
Zach didn't sue me for stealing that.
Matthew chapter 16. Jesus has just done like the feeding of the 5,000. And everybody's demanding a sign from him. And he talks about Jonah and stuff. And says, when they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now they discussed this among themselves and they said, ugh, it's because we didn't bring any bread. And he thinks that they're like yelling at him. He thinks that he's like, they think that he's like slapping them on the wrist. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about not having bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000, which just happened, and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard themselves against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. This is really cool. For one thing, I didn't even think about this when I was bringing this, but talking about sourdough, like sourdough bread.
Lots of bread.
You have to have the starter, and the starter has like the yeast in it. And then, you know, anyway, I'm not an expert on the sourdough bread, but the way yeast works is it's like this little bacterial, it's like this little living thing. It's this little organism, and it eats the sugars in the bread dough.
Don't tell me what happens next. This is a family show.
And then it toots.
Toots.
It gets the little...
I know which word you're going to use. I'm so glad you used that one.
It gets gassy. And it just blows it up. And then actually, like, when the bread rises... I can't believe you did that in the mic.
I know, it's so gross. Everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about, though.
You're so ridiculous.
I'm going to get in trouble, though.
So... It toots, and then
you keep raising your eyebrows and your voice. It toots.
So that's what like the little pockets when you have like yeasty bread. That's what the little pockets of air are, is little microbial toots. So
that time you tried to say it the same vocal range, same key.
So, but like. It's just a bunch of hot air. And so like that when they're thinking like, oh, the teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees, it's this microbial thing. It's this thing that's so small, you can't even see it. But then it like, it feeds on something in you and then it just blows up all this hot air and it just gets all puffed up and just seems really big and important or whatever. And it's not. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what were those teachings? It's like the teachings of the Pharisees were like, hey, we are different than everybody else because we follow the rules. That's what makes us awesome. We follow the rules and we're so awesome. And that's why we're better than you. That's why God loves us. And that's why we're special. And Jesus is like, hey, don't get trapped by that. That seems like a small thing, but that will consume stuff inside you. You can't even see it. It consumes stuff inside you. And then it just starts farting all over the place. It just makes a big stink. You know,
that was the right time to use the word fart. You were right that time. Yeah.
Thank you. But it just starts, it just makes a big stink out of your life, you know?
Yeah.
And you get all puffed up. You think you're amazing and stuff. And when he's talking to these guys, he's like, don't you remember what happened with the 5 loaves or with the 7 loaves? Like, I don't want you to go with their teachings. I want you to stay with me, because my thing, it seems too good to be true, but it's always going to be enough for you. Like, just the gospel. Like, look, I love you. I came for you. I paid for you. Just love me back. Hmm. That's it. Just believe in me. Just believe in me. Let's have a relationship. And like, you don't have to prove how awesome you are. You don't have to score any points. You don't have to keep any rules. Just believe in me. Love me. I love you. You love me. Let's do this thing. And that will always be enough for you. The other thing is just hot air. It's just stinking up the room. It's like when you walk into a room and you're like, oh, like what happened in here? And it's like, that's what that other thing does. That's what that other idea does, that like, maybe if I keep it together this week, then God will be pleased with me and I'll be enough.
Right.
And Jesus is like, no. What I'm bringing to you, where I pay for everything and you pay for nothing and you just love me back, believe in me and love me, that's always going to be enough. In fact, that's always going to be more than enough. There's going to be left over for somebody else. They're going to see that in you and they're going to be interested and they're going to be able to feast as well. I love that thing. These guys, they just think they're in trouble. And he's like, no. Not only are you not in trouble, but like, that's the whole point.
Right. You're doing what I said.
Yeah, exactly. No. Being in trouble with me is over now, because I came all the way from heaven for you. All I want you to do is to believe that I love you. Just, that's it. What happens if you just decide, the only thing I'm going to do today is I'm going to believe that, as crazy as it sounds, Jesus has accepted me and he loves me. And if I poured all my energy into that, just believing that he loves me and has accepted me, the only thing I'm going to do is I'm just going to be pumped. I'm going to be glad that I'm going to love him back. And I think that's the only thing he wants.
Is it Galatians where he talks a little about this? About how a little bit goes a long way? Or does he say it right there? A little yeast goes a long way?
A little yeast leavens the whole lump of dough. It might be 1 Corinthians.
For some reason, I thought that was in Galatians.
It could be.
But it's interesting, though, because it is funny what, like, adding things to the gospel or taking away things, it just doesn't work, and it messes the whole thing up. It just takes a little bit, right? Like, it just takes a little bit of what you're thinking about.
Galatians 5.
To mess the entire batch up. Thank you. I don't do that.
Let me tell you this. You know more than you think you do.
That's right, baby. Some wise man went to that. Some wise, engaged
Oh, it's also man. In 1 Corinthians 5. We're both We're right.
doubly right.
right. That feels good. probably for the wrong reasons. We get all puffed up.
Yikes.
It's hot air in here.
What were we talking about?
Carry on.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about how we shouldn't do something. but it is funny. Like, Galatians is a very, you know, Paul's turned up a little bit. He's a little heated. He's kind of on the front burner. But a lot of it is talking about how people have kind of just, they've skewed the gospel. You know, they've gone off the rails. And like, he says, like, even if you just go a little bit, if you just turn the rudder a tiny bit and you're off path,
right?
That's it. This is what it is. This is what the gospel is. There's no need to affect it. There's no need to do any of what you want to do to it, because it doesn't, you can't make it better.
Okay, that's a good...
Right? Like, there's nothing we can do to make the gospel better. So it's time to stop trying. And, like, if... there's just, like, every once in a while, there's someone who has a golden nugget of, like, this is what it is. This is what is gonna... This is the key to this. This is the thing. That, my friend, is the yeast that we're talking about.
Yep. It's just gonna eat and fart.
It's just gonna eat and fart, and it's gonna blow the whole thing up.
That's it. Yeah, it's gonna blow. That's good.
It's gonna blow. Yeah, and... I think, like...
This used to be a family show.
This used to be... Golly, we have talked about a lot of stuff.
We didn't make this up, though. I mean, Jesus invented yeast.
He literally...
It was his idea.
We can't start doing that, because we could talk about who knows what on here.
Yeah, that's a bad precedent.
Yeah, for the month of February, we haven't talked about this shit, but we're going to do the whole book of Song of Solomon. That's what we're going to do.
No, we're not.
Oh, okay, okay. That's why. I'm just kidding. This is a family show. Crap, what was I talking about? Oh.
That's the yeast.
Yeah, that's the yeast. What was the yeast?
Like somebody that comes up with a golden nugget that changes the
gospel. Oh, yeah.
The great quote was, you can't make the gospel better.
That's right.
That's it.
You can't make the gospel better. Amen. Stop trying. Just let it work. Let it do its thing. Let the simple message of what Jesus has. And it's honestly like, it is simple. We can boil it down to a few simple things. A lot of stuff happened and a lot of things is happening to me still until this thing is over. And it's dense and complex and thick. And there's stuff I'll never understand while I'm on this earth. And there's all kinds of stuff about it. A lot of it I don't need to try to, because I can kind of, I will make it the way I think it is. And a lot of times that's not right. So I personally am trying to be content with, this is the message that Jesus had for me. This is what it's boiled down to. And this is the truth of it. I can't make that any better.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I loved it.
Okay.
I think that I was thinking about the other night we were in the prison, and Thomas didn't get to go to this one, but
bummer.
We were leading worship for a lot of guys, a lot of guys locked up, and we were singing a song that my dear friend Jed Brewer wrote called "I Am New," and it's just so simple. It's just the sweet, simple message of the good news, and it's just like, because I have a Savior and all my sins are paid for, I am new. It's just such a simple sentence, and it's so beautiful. And just to hear those guys sing that and to believe it and to see it on their faces and to feel that room just, I mean, almost like that room was just like quivering with everybody's like excitement over that good news.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Maybe we should end the show with that song.
It's a fantastic song. Can we do the live version? Does he have that?
Yeah. In fact, if you go on Spotify and you look up either Jed Brewer or, The Bridge Chicago, mm-hmm. you can find an entire album of songs just like that one that Jed wrote for just people who are down and out in the city of Chicago and performing them live.
Right. Yeah. Listen to 60 people who are down and out sing it louder than I've ever sang in my entire life.
So fun. But yeah, we'll close today's show with Jed Brewer's song, "I Am New." Today's show has been brought to you by Thomas and Maddie.
Gold and diamonds.
Wow.
And that.
Dude, you're engaged.
I'm engaged. I got engaged at a soccer taco in Knoxville.
I'm so happy for you, man.
That's what I'm telling everybody. It was at soccer taco.
It was on the rooftop, and Thomas hung Christmas lights. It was very romantic.
It was beautiful. But it was at soccer taco.
We're so happy for you, dude.
Thank you. I'm happy for me.
Friends, we love you. Thanks for...
Sorry, that was so conceited.
Thanks for hanging out with us for a while. Go check out Jed Brewer's album on Spotify and Live from the Bridge. And until next time, I am Lee.
I'm Thomas.
And this has been Ancient and New from two guys who are most assuredly taken.
That's right. Yes.
See you next week.
Let me get y'all to put your hands together for me. I am new. I am new. No matter what I've done or do, I am new. I am. I have a father.
let's go back to the start of that song, Miss Tiffany. I am new. I am new. No matter what I've done or do, I am new. I am new. Even when I forget, that's true. Because I have a father, because I child, I am new. I am changed. Sing us with me. I am changed. I am changed. My old life has gone away. I am changed. I am changed. All right, y'all, pray with me. Lord Jesus, we want our lives to be different.